It's Dino on the line with Dan, bass player for Nothing More. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you, Dino?
Oh, great, great. Enjoying the desert, the brutal desert heat out here. You guys will have a taste of it when you get here in about a week for the Rialto Theater Show on July 28th. And I have a quick question for you because we saw you guys back in October. And since then, you guys have been on tour supporting The Stories We Tell Ourselves, your latest album. But you guys were nominated for 3 Grammy Awards. And unfortunately, you didn't win. But really, is it just an honor to be nominated?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah, it's crazy. You know, no matter what, you know, we didn't get to leave with an actual, like, statue saying that we won a Grammy. But no matter what, you leave with a title, you know. And they even gave us these cool kind of medals, you know, from, I think they're from Tiffany or something like that.
Oh, but, wow.
So, it was cool. But just to be recognized by such a prestigious organization like the Grammys was such an honor for us. And, you know, I think even more than that, I think it meant so much to us, but I think it meant even more to our, you know, our parents and our friends who put us up on their couches for the last 10 years as we built this thing. So it was just an all around good thing.
Did you get to keep at least the envelope, you know, that has it listed, you know, your name with the other nominees?
Yeah. You know, I think we all have a shadow box of every single little item that went along with it, you know, plane tickets, Subway receipts, you know, I mean, Subway sandwiches, not the New York Subway, but everything, you know, the socks we wore, stuff like that.
You got to write those Subway sandwiches off, man. Come on. This is a business.
a big expense. Yeah, it adds up.
Hey, Go to War, Do You Really Want It, were the previously released singles. Kind of took you guys to a little bit of a wider audience. And the new single, Just Say When, kind of shows off like a little more versatile, you know, side of the band. Is this kind of like the song that could be even used like in TVs and movies? Is that something you guys approve of to expose the band to the masses?
Yeah, I think so. We're not the type of band that at the end of the day is going to sell out or just water down and become soft like some of the rock bands that we love have done, but. I don't know. We just like to write whatever's on our mind and kind of portray it in the strongest medium we can. And, you know, that particular song, the best way to do it was just an acoustic song, you know. And we're always pushing ourselves to write heavier songs. And if the song needs to be heavier or write more ambiently, if it calls for that. So we're open to whatever. So the more people that we can turn on to the band, the better off everyone is, we feel like. So
we won't be seeing a Nothing More car commercial.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I think we've got a lot of good car songs, you know? I'd love to see a Chevy truck pounding through the mud, you know, with a horse trailer to go to war or something like that.
There you go. All right. Yeah. Say, Chevy, give us a call.
But I'm an automotive guy, though. So.
All right. Maybe you can get one of like those cool older Chevys, you know, like the 67 Chevy something or other, you know, Chevelle or something like that.
Oh, that would be cool. That'd be cool. I'm in.
All right. So next Saturday's show here will be like the fourth time you guys have been here in the Dirty Tea since 2015. And you know, you guys keep bringing the people back that saw you at the very first time, and they're bringing new people to experience your live shows because you guys have so much energy and passion when you play. I mean, like your bass solo, I mean, it could be just like a regular bass solo, you know, your time to shine, but you actually have this thing called the Bassinator contraption, and it becomes a 3-man bass solo. Do you mind that you have to share some of your thunder when it comes to your instrument?
No, yeah, right. Our philosophy is kind of to make everyone the hero kind of thing. And I do all the metal construction on stage, and it's cool because I kind of get to facilitate the creativity of everyone. So, you know, it's my base, my time to shine, but it's just so much cooler if we all can do it together. And it also alleviates the pressure, you know, because I might totally blow it, but...
Every night it's a crapshoot.
If I can blow it with my friends, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, every night it's a crapshoot when you get up there, right?
A little bit. You know, the key is to just not think about what you're doing. Just let your body flow. The moment You know, every night, that's literally what I have to tell myself. The moment I start thinking about what I'm playing, I totally forget. And it's happened before. Just, you know, blank stare at the instrument right when I'm supposed to come in. But it's been a while.
So how hard do you guys work on delivering, you know, that live performance and going, you know, thinking about the stuff that goes into your set, you know, that sets you guys apart from some of your peers?
You know, it's a lot of work. I don't know, but it's a lot of work, but it's just something that we all want to do as well. Like, we don't, the bass solo didn't necessarily come about because we wanted to be different or needed like a gimmick to put ourselves on top. It was more of a cool idea that we felt like the world needed to see, you know, and over time, you know, I've been in the band 15 years now. And it's just one of those things that evolves over time, you know, is what we do it. It's successful. You know, it kind of proves itself. We modify it. And then a few years later, another generation of a similar thing came out. And this last year, we released the newest kind of big stage idea, which is the Scorpion Tail.
Right.
And that was this big kind of collective idea where Johnny came to a rehearsal with this little MIDI controller. It looked like an old Sega Genesis controller. And basically, he was able to pipe the guitar, the bass, the vocals, and the drums all through the computer. And then with this little MIDI controller and with a certain program, he was able to literally DJ live music. So we just wrote a riff that we played over and over again. And he did the exact same thing that what DJs do to already recorded audio,
right,
he did to a live band in a rehearsal room. So, you know, it sounded so badass that we were just like, this has to happen. But it can't look like that, you know, him holding like him video gaming the band kind of thing. So I kind of went to the drawing board and kind of designed this Scorpion Tail idea with a good friend of mine. And, you know, it's funny, 4 years later, while everyone else was in the studio, because we self-produced the record, and while the rest of the band goes into the studio and kind of polishes and edits all the audio, I go into the garage and chop steel and weld things together. So, yeah, lo and behold, 3 or 4 years later, I'm pulling them into the garage, like showing them the physical version of an idea that sprung up a while ago. So, it's fun. It's just a lot of fun. I couldn't imagine being in another band, because every night, not only do we get to play the songs that we wrote, but we get to go into these kind of experimental instrumentals that kind of open people's eyes to different kind of performance art. So,
wow, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a sight to see, and it definitely has the chops behind it too. Yeah, it's just not a gimmick. It's definitely you're getting both sides of the spectrum. You're getting something visual, but you're also getting something between your ears as well. So, yeah, it's definitely a unique experience when you see nothing more.
Yeah, well, thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. And so, how much money do you guys save on wardrobe because Johnny never wears a shirt?
You know, you would think a lot, but he actually has the largest suitcase out of all of us. So that's how it would work, though, you know.
Right.
Yeah, they got to have the biggest wardrobe off stage to only wear pants on stage. But, you know, he does it well, though, so we're not complaining.
That's cool. Now, I don't know if you know this. We talked to your label a little bit, and you guys are going to be here on the 28th, which is a week from Saturday. That is also the fourth anniversary of Tucson's Sunlink Downtown Streetcar, and you guys will be performing on one of the streetcars going around town earlier in the day before the show. What is your go-to acoustic song that you may play when you're on the downtown streetcar?
Oh, man. You know, I would say Rock You Like a Hurricane, but I don't even think we know that. I've never gotten the opportunity to actually think about this. This is an insane opportunity. Now, do you mean like a trolley, like a San Francisco trolley car?
It's more like one of those. Yeah, it's like kind of like a commuter, you know, through the streets train, above ground train. You know, like driven.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of like a big gigantic bus, but it's on wires. You know, that's how it gets its power. But it's got tracks on the ground.
Totally.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, yeah, I don't, I think that's it. You know, it's probably Rock You Like a Hurricane. I doubt we'll play that, but, you know, we'll probably play one of the other stupid songs that we quote-unquote wrote. But I can't wait for that. That sounds fun. Are we going to be moving and everything?
Yeah, look, apparently, from what I understand, from what I've read from the emails going back and forth that you guys will be on, there's going to be several other bands that will be doing this throughout the day as well, locally here. But you guys are like the big dogs as far as getting to do this. And then, of course, you'll play the show at night. But, yeah, you'll get to see a little bit more of Tucson as you cruise through the downtown on the streetcar.
Wow, hell yeah. Well, we appreciate it. That's going to be a ton of fun.
All right. Well, we'll definitely cover your fare getting on, so don't worry about that. We got you guys covered.
Thank you.
No one will be bothering you. It's like, "Hey, where's your ticket, man?"
Yeah, I thought those things were on our system anyway, right? Yeah.
That's right. That's what I always thought, too.
Whoop.
That's all right. Hey, so you guys have been on tour now for a while with Bad Wolves. You guys have both been out with Five Finger Death Punch recently. Are you guys really tight with Bad Wolves?
You know, honestly, we have yet to meet them. We will meet them tomorrow morning.
Oh, gosh. I done some research. I thought you guys had already done some dates already with those guys.
No, not yet. Yeah, we break ground on the Five Finger Tour in Boise tomorrow morning. We're excited to meet them. They're label mates. And, you know, obviously they've just blown up with their cover of Zombie, which is incredible. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. We've heard through the grapevine that they're nice guys and they're a good band. And I don't know. Sounds like a recipe for some fun. Well, I think we've got a lot of time in parking lots together, so I'm sure one of them will become my future, the godfather to my son or something like that.
Well, you've toured with Five Finger before, right, too, right?
We have, yeah. We did an arena tour with them back in 2014.
Yeah. What's it like being on the road with those guys?
They're good dudes. They're really good dudes, you know, massive fans. They're awesome guys to be able to call peers, you know, and we've done a full U.S. tour with Breaking Benjamin as well. And same story, just they're bands we always listened to growing up. And then to actually have them kind of know us by name is kind of mind blowing. So we're stoked about the tour. So it should be good. And then new friends, Bad Wolves, you know, all the headlining tours, all the headlining shows in between, like in Tucson or with Bad Wolves and band I Set to Kill that's out of Phoenix. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, we're stoked about the whole thing. You know, it's cool to be able to play these big amphitheaters with massive bands, and it's also really cool to be able to peel off a couple times throughout the tour and do your own like club thing again and be close enough to sweat and spit on people and stuff like that.
That's cool. Well, and so what's in store for Nothing More throughout the rest of the year then?
Well, it looks like we're doing, obviously, the Five Finger thing. That's a long run. That'll take us into September. I believe in October we're heading back across the pond and going out with Bullet for My Valentine, and then coming home and immediately going into a three-week Canada-only tour with 3 Days Grace.
Okay, wow.
Then hopefully after that, you know, we'll get to come home and just in time for Christmas and do all that jazz and New Year's and... Yeah, I haven't heard what's happening early next year, but we're pretty booked throughout the rest of this one.
So, are you guys working on new music when you're on the road, or is that something that's going to be coming once you guys are finally done and get a chance to recharge your batteries?
Yeah, you know, we're all documenting ideas on our own. Everyone's schedules kind of spread out throughout the day with interviews and stuff like that. So, you know, Mark will record just guitar riffs and. If anybody has a lyrical idea, a melodic idea, or other people with guitar riffs, we all just kind of garage band that kind of stuff. But mm-hmm. the real, like, true magic happens when we all get in a room together and share and then just spend time together going through the ideas and getting rough outlines of songs and challenging each other with different parts and stuff like that. So, you know, we're excited to be out on the road, but we're definitely... really excited to work on the next record as well. So there's a lot of ideas percolating.
Okay. And then last thing for you, Dan, all this week I've been giving out tickets to your show on the air, and the contest we've been doing is called Something for Nothing More Tickets. Basically, people have to share something a little odd about themselves. I share things as well, so we get to know each other a little bit better. Let's get to know you a little bit more. Tell us something weird or embarrassing about yourself.
Huh. Let's see. Weird or embarrassing. Let's see. In elementary school, I was always the slowest runner, and my class was kind of a fat kid. But for some reason, I was the fastest runner backwards. I could beat everyone else in the backwards race.
All right.
But forward direction, last place.
Always doing it backwards. You bass players, man.
Yeah. And I was real scared of buttons, too, for some reason when I was young. But
you were scared
of
what?
I went to a private school, so there were buttons on everything.
Oh,
I was real scared of buttons, like a button-up polo shirt.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that makes perfect sense that you're in the job that you do now, so you don't have to wear, you know, like a tie or a button-up shirt. Yeah, you're totally free to, you know, go V-neck or whatever you need to do. Maybe no shirt at all, just like Johnny. Maybe Johnny's got the same thing.
Yeah, it's true. It's right. You know, I'm still kind of scared of him. I can't believe I haven't thought about just wearing elastic pants all these years. But I would if it was socially acceptable.
All right, everybody. Dan from Nothing More. Can't wait to see you coming up here a week from Saturday at the Rialto Theater here at the Dirty T.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for having us. We appreciate all the support. And, you know, you have a lot of dedicated listeners, and we love it. You know, we love Tucson. We love Arizona. Love the being out west in general, so we're stoked to hit the desert again.
All right, man. Well, we'll see you on Saturday.
Yeah, take it easy.